Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Doodling Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Thompson, and joining me as always in the studio here is Dawn, my wife. How are you tonight?
Hi, Elliot. I'm ready.
You're ready. Well, that's got you so excited.
He just said, are you ready to worship? And I'm here.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm bored.
All right. Well, we thank you for joining us this evening, and we invite you to continue watching along for our newsletter. We're very thankful for the participation of everyone and the feedback we've been getting lately on it. So if you want to join us in on the conversation tonight, the chat room is open online. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/DCL network and log on into the chat room to join in the conversation this evening. Or if you want to continue on with the archive, please do so and do that. But also drop us an email at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. And if you're not receiving the newsletter, let us know. If you have some suggestions for us and verses to work our way through, please do so as well. But we're very thankful for the continuation of this ministry and everything that God is doing in our lives to bring it forward. We're going to be working in Romans today. We'll get into a little bit more about that. Dawn, as we start off with today, anything in particular you want to lead in with?
I'm very excited about debuting this new song. We've waited a while, recorded about 6 months ago. It took a little while to get everything lined up, but it just got released this week.
All those other artists to join you in the background, playing all the guitars and doing all the sound editing and everything else. Yes, yes, yeah. We're very thankful. Our son has completed his production work as well as his additional recordings of all the instrumentation to Dawn's version of Amazing Grace.
Yeah, and so many of the songs I do have a much milder take than this. I really get a kick out of the near rock driving sound. Yeah.
A little bit of blues thrown there as well. So why don't we get into this? I know Dawn's excited. I'm excited too. Now hopefully you guys appreciate this version of Amazing Grace. It's something that came forward to us a little more than a year ago as we watched an artist at the Acorn Theater perform Casey Abrams. Never heard it before. Some people have. It's Amazing Grace to the rhythm and beat of House of the Rising Sun. If you remember the famous song by Derek Burden and the Animals back in the 60s. So why don't we listen to Dawn's rendition of Amazing Grace.
Feel and break my fear. So we're going to work our way through Romans chapter 7, verse 6 tonight in our conversation. And what we're going to be discussing, again, comes back into play with our recent discussions of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be considering where Paul is taking in his message to the early church in Rome as he's trying to set the structure of how the church should operate. He's setting the course of his theology and the tone and expectations for how the church is to function and operate, and the theology, core theology of Christ, and the gospel message of Christ. And he warns in particular about false teachers and false leaders. So today we're going to read through Romans chapter 7, verse 6. And let me go through that now, and then I'll follow up with some explanation. So Paul writes, "But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we will serve in newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." So here we are, Paul talking about the issue of being released from our bondage, that the law has been given to us, and living life under the law, the strict interpretation of the letter of the law, is different from the mission and the ministry and the message of hope and forgiveness and mercy that comes to us from the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we look back into the old Jewish law, it's evident that we can see the law in a generalized sense of being set as things we shouldn't do, the negative component, those things that are wrong, those things to avoid, those things that are unkeeping in with God's children. So how to not sin, if you will, things we should not do. Even if we go back to the Ten Commandments and we read the Ten Commandments, where it's a listing primarily of thou shalt nots, even though there are some others in there, but thou shalt not have bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Christ comes into the world and gives us an opportunity of living a life in the Holy Spirit, which to me transcends the issue of the letter of the law. And although we are guided by the law, living in the law is not where we should be. Living with a layer of understanding and of justice given to us through the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ is what we look to do with this verse today. If we go back to old and strong interpretations, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, well, Jesus comes along and he changes that. And he said, well, you should turn the other cheek. So he's not giving up the law. He's understanding that the law is there for setting the tone and the structure. But how we live through that now becomes a different matter. It becomes a different issue, does it not? We can liken this to the justice system of today, give or take whatever you like or dislike about it. The letter of the law, if the letter of the law is lived to, we don't need to have judges sit and give sentence and set sentences. We look for judges to have justice over the letter of the law and the meaning of that for the life of the individual that is on trial or has been accused. And then we look for mercy in the application of that law, with the opportunity for that person to be healed and reconciled and redeemed in a life ahead of them. As we look at ourselves even, we can look at how we can condemn ourselves. But Christ gives us the opportunity to look beyond the condemnation of our sin, and to live in this wholeness and newness of given the gift of the Holy Spirit and the mercy and grace that comes from it. So I hope this makes some sense. One of the examples I want to also give you is the issue of living in the Spirit in the newness of life. Consider how you raised your children and raising your children at different stages in their life. Consider how you applied the rules of the house and whether or not you applied them with a spirit of love and mercy, or whether you applied them with strict justice and judgment based on the original law or rule being broken. I like to believe that all of us out there applied some issue of the spirit of wisdom that comes to us from understanding of God's grace and mercy. So although here are the rules, we're not saying break them, we're not saying set them apart, but understand the rules in context of what is now right moving forward. The sin has been committed, the law has been broken. Now what is proper and right for the well-being of this person, for the well-being of their work in Christ, their love for others and their care for others in need, and your need to care for these people. So it's not to eliminate the issue of the law being in existence, but not being bound to it, not being strict interpreters of the black and white, but to apply justice and to understand that justice through the spirit of God's new creation in us. Having forgiven us for our sins, we now can see the meaning of that mercy and that grace in the application of what he has given to us. Now we can apply to others. And it's only through that spirit of understanding can we do so. If not, we are still left condemned in our own sin, and condemned to our own sin, we're bound to condemn others in their sin. So I believe what we have to look for is this lifting up of the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to take seat within us and bring us to newness in life for ourselves, so that we can offer up newness of life for others, and to not just live by the law and the letter of the law, but apply justice over top of that law. Let me give you some other readings here to help frame this discussion and maybe set it a little clearer for you. We hear Paul write in Romans chapter 6, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So sin and the law being condemnation, and when we find ourselves dead to sin, we now have the opportunity to give in to the will of God, right? If we are dead in the life of our past, we now can live in the life of our future, which is the gift of Christ and our salvation. In 2 Corinthians, we hear Paul write, he has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And again, this issue of condemnation versus the new covenant given to us for the forgiveness and the salvation that we've been given through the mercy and grace and the sacrificial work that Christ has done for us. We now have the ability to live not only in the comfort of that gift, but live with the understanding that we need to apply it as ministers of the new covenant in everything that we do and in everywhere we go. We hear Paul later also in Ephesians say this, and put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. One of the things I've been trying to do is to fall back and look more at how the Old Testament and the New Testament come back together in Scripture and in verse to help give depth and further meaning to some of the things that we work on here on the show. And we go back into Ezekiel, and we can read in Ezekiel chapter 11. And I will give them one heart and put on a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh. The heart of stone, that which have them living by the letter of the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, judgment for judgment, black and white, it's on or it's off. And give them a new spirit within them. One heart, unity of one heart across all peoples. And the opportunity now to understand that we are no different than anyone else, and we are capable of sin, we are capable of destruction, just as much as we are capable of love and forgiveness of one another. And then Ezekiel will write again in chapter 18, rid yourselves of the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. By will you will die, people of Israel. Why will you die, people of Israel? Excuse me. And that is the continuation of the old. Why are you not living in the new, in this new heart and this new spirit? Do you stand committed and condemned and condemning yourself and others for the offenses? Do you stand in forgiveness and understanding of their sins and your own sins? One of the things that comes forward in this is the issue of condemnation of our own being and how that plays and takes its toll on our lives. Is the self-condemnation. If we condemn ourselves, we're apt to condemn others. So we have to look to the sacrifice of Christ and trust in the true mercy and the true vastness of the love of God to forgive us of all of our past sins, to help us understand this verse that God has and will continue to create us new and move us forward, to move beyond the sins of our past, to not recall them and not to hold them as meaning that we're incapable of living a holy life and incapable of living in the grace that God has given to us. I refer to Gill's exposition because I think he does a very good job in working us in through this verse. He'll write and takes from Romans chapter 7, verse 25 in this. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With that in mind, I myself serve the law of God. The manner in which the service is to be and is performed is in newness of spirit, under the influences of the Spirit of God, the author of renovation, of the new creature, the new man created in us, in righteousness, in true holiness, and from a new heart and a new spirit and new principles of life, light and love and grace formed in our soul. And I just think that's wonderful. It's not to disregard the law. We will serve the law. We will live within the law's framework. The issue is, what do we do around how that law now applies to justice and through sin and through those that have gone beyond the bounds of law? We know that we are not sinless. We know that we will sin again. We know that we have broken laws and God's law in particular, and will probably break it again. But each time that we do, let us find hope of the promise that is given to us in Christ, that we are forgiven. Let us find how we can grow to learn from that lesson, to learn and take the forgiveness of that sin and push that out of our minds so that we don't tear ourselves down and tear ourselves apart from the saving grace of and redeeming grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do we accept that Jesus saves us from our sin and forgives us of our sin? Or do we live in condemnation of ourselves and in others for the sins of ourselves and the sins that they have committed? This is this application, living in this new spirit under the influences of the Spirit, not bypassing the law, not forgetting the law, not disrespecting the law, not negating the law, but now applying layers upon layers upon layers above and on top of that law, which is how we now respond, how we respond to ourselves when we ourselves have committed a sin, how we respond to others if they have committed a sin, how we respond by showing God's love and God's mercy to everyone, regardless of the circumstances of their life, regardless of their past history, regardless of anything that has gone before. Do we live in newness to serve the Lord, or do we look to serve the law? And there's a big difference. When we look to serve the law without the application of God's mercy, when we look to serve the law without an understanding that we too are condemned to the law, and yet we survive because of the gift of Christ. When we understand that that gift of Christ lifts us up and takes us out of the condemnation of the law and puts us into a holiness in a world with God and standing aside with Jesus and the opportunity to be there together in heaven, when we can release that burden from ourselves, we then should offer the same to everyone around us, to help them release the burdens of their sin, to help them feel the mercy and the grace that is given to them through the gift of the Holy Spirit. One thing I want to leave you with as we go forward in our studies is one big issue that continues to haunt every one of us is how we hold on to our past. We have to learn to let go. God has already forgiven you. God has given you the grace and mercy of His great love and has promised an eternity in heaven with Him to you, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your past. All you need to do is to let His Spirit work within you and allow Him to draw you close and for you to call Him by name and understand the gift that comes from the grace of His salvation and the greatness of the act of the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. When you proclaim Him to be your Savior, when you understand that along with His saving grace comes His strength through the Holy Spirit to you, you now have the power within you to forgive yourself and to move forward and live a positive life of reassurance that comes from His love and the love that you pass on to others. So hopefully this conversation has made some sense for you tonight. I pray that as the weeks, months ahead come along, that you really reflect back on this issue of self-condemnation. I think it is one of our biggest obstacles to overcome, not just in our faith life, but for the benefit and the well-being of everyone around us. If we stand convicting ourselves, we are apt to convict others. So first learn to forgive yourself, because God has already done so, and then learn how to live with that spirit as a new spirit within you. The freedom that you receive from the forgiveness of that sin, or those sins, is now the freedom that you can give to others by your love and application of justice. So I thank you for joining and listening in on the show tonight. I apologize for some of the technical glitches that we had. Hopefully this is going to come together, and in the archive it'll all make sense to everyone out there. But thank you for listening into the show. We ask that you continue to support us through the newsletter. Continue those words of confidence and encouragement that you've been giving to us. Thank you very much for that loving support. And remember that God does answer prayers. We've had prayers answered all week long. And there's evidence of this all around us through the gift of a friend's son of ours, Brennan, who is now back in treatment. We know that God protected him and kept him strong and safe. And now he's back in the care where he needs to be. And we just give God great thanks for that gift and the answering of those prayers for Bonnie and for all those that care for Bonnie and Brennan. We know that God has answered prayers in the care of my mother-in-law and the healing that is taking place with her. And we just continue to lift up all those that are in need and let you stand firm and confident that God will answer your prayers. Give it up to Him and let His mercy reign. So we hope that you have a blessed week ahead. We look forward to bringing you another episode next week. Look forward to the newsletter sometime next week. And give us your feedback at faithshare@dclnetwork. That is faithshare@dclnetwork. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a blessed evening.